Presented by Business Roundtable.
Hey, good morning. I am Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels. It is Thursday, April 18th. Here is what's driving the day. President Biden is hitting Philly later on today, and his event will be coming with a Camelot-sized endorsement. The campaign says a huge contingent of the Kennedy family will be on hand to endorse the president and Vice President Kamala Harris. Kerry Kennedy and Joe Kennedy III are definitely going to be on hand to introduce Biden and give remarks. The family's also going to knock doors and make calls in Philly in a voter outreach push. It's not a huge surprise this is happening. The Kennedy family took a big picture with Biden at the White House recently, but it's still notable considering they have a blood relative who was also running for president. But there's clearly been a whole lot of love lost there, as we have seen. And the impeachment trial is over. After just a day of deliberation, the Democratic-controlled Senate voted to deem both articles of impeachment against Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas unconstitutional. That cut that little trial short without any votes to convict or acquit. In a statement reacting to the news, a DHS spokesperson said, quote, "Today's decision by the Senate to reject House Republicans' baseless attacks on Secretary Mayorkas proves definitively that there was no evidence or constitutional grounds to justify impeachment." And in just a few hours, former President Donald Trump will be back in court in New York City for day three of his jury selection for his criminal case. Seven jurors have been selected. That means we still need five to be added to the jury, along with six backups, also known as alternates. One interesting thing that our legal team is pointing out this morning is that two of those seven jurors selected so far are attorneys. That is a pretty uncommon thing. And joining me now to talk about all of that is one of the members of our legal team, Betsy Woodruff Swan, a favorite of the podcast and someone who will continue to come back because we have a lot going on the next few months, Betsy. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So I have seen every episode of The Good Wife, so I'm a lawyer, but I want you to explain for all of the non-legal eagle listeners out there just how uncommon this is to have already this many lawyers on a jury pool.
It's, in the words of one of the jury consultants I talked to, it is, quote unquote, totally uncommon. It is more common in New York and D.C. and other places just because New York and D.C. are already like 50% lawyers as it is. It's like hard to get away from them. But even then, well, first off, prosecutors never want to have defense attorneys on the jury panel. Defense attorneys never want to have anyone who's been a prosecutor on the jury panel. So if you do criminal law, you're immediately out. And then for people who are civil litigators or corporate attorneys, a concern that both the defense and prosecution often have is that these lawyers will be on a jury panel. You know, they'll kind of get a big head. They'll reinterpret the instructions that the judge might give them. They'll sort of give their own spin to things, and that they could take things really sideways in the jury when the jury is deliberating. I spoke to a number of jury consultants, you know, experts on picking jurors for this story. And what one of them said is that many lawyers often have fairly big personalities or assertive personalities, especially in contexts like this. And she said she would only ever be comfortable having a lawyer on one of her juries if she was 1,000% sure that the lawyer was going to be sympathetic to her client.
Voir dire can kind of tell you a lot about what both sides are kind of looking for, what kind of jury they are trying to create. I just rewatched the O.J. Simpson TV show, and it was that whole episode of about kind of like exactly getting the jury that you want. How is the Trump team, how is Alvin Bragg's team with allowing these lawyers on there, what does it tell us about what how they are trying to benefit from this?
Several of the jury consultants I spoke to said that there could be an advantage to Trump's team in having lawyers on the panel because, and again, this is a total stereotype, but in the jury selection process, that's most of what you have to work with. Because the stereotype about lawyers is that they tend to be more analytical, less emotional. They're able to sort of keep themselves from getting swept up in a story, able to sort of be a bit contrarian on technical legal issues. And so a concern with, you know, all sorts of jurors is that they hear the prosecution lay out a story. Prosecutors, of course, go in first. They tell a story that might be emotionally resonant. It might have compelling characters. The story Alvin Bragg is telling is sure a pretty interesting one. And then the defense lawyers have to come up and they have to try to unwind all of that. And sometimes jurors hear this first story and become so personally invested in it that they just don't listen to anything else. The hope, of course, for Trump's lawyers, inevitably, undoubtedly, is that having a civil litigator and a corporate lawyer on the panel, that those two people will be more likely to be a little bit dispassionate, a little bit emotionally removed. And undoubtedly, they would certainly hope that those people will be more open to arguments about, yeah, even if all the facts as alleged by the prosecutor are true, prosecutors aren't explaining the law correctly, or the prosecutors are using the law in a way that's outside of the norm and that's unfair.
Oh, that's fascinating. Such drama already. And we're only in today will be day three. We are back again for jury selection. It seems like it's going to be wrapped up faster than a lot of folks expected, and that we might have a jury today and tomorrow, and then things will kick off for real on Monday. One, does that sound right? And if so, what are you looking for?
Well, if they keep going at the pace they're going at, then yeah, there's no reason I think that this couldn't be wrapped up in the next 2 days of the trial, which is way faster than a lot of people had expected. I mean, perhaps the strange thing about this is that the jury selection process might be the most important part of this entire trial. Trump's team is not expecting to get an acquittal. It's frankly almost statistically impossible, just given the composition of Manhattan. The likelihood that every single person on this jury is going to vote Donald Trump is innocent is pretty much microscopic. What they're hoping for is a hung jury. That's the best they can hope for. That is that at least one juror will put down his or her foot, cross their arms over their chest, say, hell no, I'm not convicting, you know, I'm going to take my ball and go home, and that's it. From the prosecutor's standpoint, they have to bat 1,000. From the standpoint of Trump's defense lawyers, they just need that one person who will say, you know, nope, not into it. And it's possible that there's going to be a person on the jury who has that disposition, who maybe has already decided how they would come down. Sometimes that happens in these things. They're not supposed to. They're supposed to say in court, they're willing to be persuaded, follow the facts and the law. But you know, there's nobody who generates stronger, more intense feelings in American public life, I would argue, than Donald Trump, both pro and con. So this jury selection process has just been incredibly important, you know. I mean, arguably just as, if not more important than any other group of days over the course of this trial. It shouldn't be. That's not how the system's supposed to work, but it very well may be.
Oof, you and your whole team have a lot to get into. So I'm gonna let you go do that. We will definitely have you back to explain more of this. Betsy Woodrow-Sorum, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Eugene.
And for your schedule today, the House and the Senate are in. And as I already mentioned, President Biden is going to be in Philly today, attending 2 campaign events, including the one where he's being endorsed by basically the entire Kennedy family. I'm Eugene Daniels. Thanks for listening.
Essential pro-growth tax policies have expired or are being phased out, making it more difficult for U.S. businesses to invest at home, create American jobs, and compete globally. The House has passed legislation to stop these tax increases on U.S. job creators. Now it's up to the Senate to act. It's time to strengthen America's global competitiveness. Pass the Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act.